Well, we continue here Jesus in what's called the Bread of Life discourse in John's Gospel. We've heard this over the last weeks, kind of coming to the culmination of it here in today's Gospel. Remember, Jesus, the Jews that were there, had gathered at Capernaum the day before. He had worked that miracle of 5,000, feeding of the 5,000 men. And so he's talking with the Jews there and his disciples that are there in Capernaum, sharing with them that he is the bread of life, that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life. So Jesus is sharing that with them. And as we heard, it's really a hard thing for them to grasp. Jesus acknowledges that they're murmuring amongst themselves in today's gospel about what he is saying to them. Now, again, they think that he's asking them to be cannibals, to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But Jesus is not backing off on this. He wants them to do that, so they're probably wondering, well, how? And eventually we know that ultimately, in the Last Supper, that's when Jesus institutes the Eucharist and shares with us how he wants us to do that. One of the things I want to drill into is what he said here in this gospel is that he says to them that the Spirit gives life and the flesh is to no avail. And then he says that my words are spirit and life. So I just want to drill into those ideas. What is Jesus saying in those things? Now remember, we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. It's really truly him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And he's saying to us, the Spirit gives life and the flesh is to no avail. Is he saying that when we eat his flesh, that's not the most significant thing? It seems like he's sharing with us that the Spirit is there. And I remember where one of the persons of the Trinity is, all three are in a sense there. Remember, God, Jesus, is both God and man. So God is one God and three persons. So if Jesus is there and he's God, the other two persons are there. This is God we don't understand, can't comprehend. So the other three are there, the other two are there with him. So in other words, the Holy Spirit's there with him. So when we receive the Eucharist, what sanctifies us? What makes us holy? It's the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about sanctifying grace. When we're baptized, we receive sanctifying grace. We're made holy. We become a temple of the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. We're made holy by the Holy Spirit. And so that's why, you know, we want to maintain the Holy Spirit in our temples, our bodies, our persons. Certainly when we commit a mortal sin, we kick God out of our temple, the person. So we want to maintain that. We want to have the Holy Spirit constantly within us, moving, living and moving within us. And the Spirit gives us life. That's what Jesus says. How do we have eternal life? Well, actually, eternal life starts now, when we're sanctified and made holy by the Spirit, when we're adopted sons and daughters of God. So that's really powerful. The Holy Spirit gives us life. And we know that the Holy Spirit came. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that Mary conceived Jesus in her womb. The Holy Spirit, when I consecrate at Mass, we call down the Holy Spirit to change the bread and wine into Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. So the Holy Spirit is powerful, obviously, sanctifies us, makes us holy, gives us eternal life. So something certainly we want to accept. We want to be open to the movements of the Spirit in our lives. The other thing that Jesus said is, my words are spirit and life. Now we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. Jesus is the Word of God. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And he shares with us the Father's will, what the Father wants from us, what we're called to do. We want to listen and follow his words, what he says. In John's gospel, if we read the very beginning, the Word became flesh and dwells among us. Jesus is the Word. He shares with us what we're called to do, certainly by his life, to follow his example, follow what he says to us, what he's shared with us, what he's told us. And that's why, you know, certainly to read the Gospels. Read the Gospels and really, what is Jesus saying? And one of the very first teachings that Jesus does is in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. He gives us the Beatitudes. Powerful, powerful teachings of how we're called to live. Be humble, poor in spirit, meek. In other words, when we're criticized or attacked, to really respond in a charitable way. We're going to have difficulties in our life. We're going to struggle. There's going to be sad times in our life. But God's going to bless us. We persevere through those things. Mercy. To be merciful. God is merciful to us, so we better ask for forgiveness from our sins. To be peacemakers. You know, now it's Christ's peace. That's why we're called to be an image of Christ. That's one of the things the Eucharist does to us, is it helps transform us more into an image of Christ. To be peacemakers, to bring the peace of Christ to others. And to have a pure heart. You know, what is our intentions in our actions? You know, are we always having, loving the other person, doing what is best for the other person, even if it's tough at times. Loving God. To desire holiness. I want to be holy. I mean, God's going to fill us. He's going to fill us if we want to be holy. And we can't forget, you know, because of our faith, we're going to be persecuted. Jesus was persecuted. He was a martyr. He died on the cross to save us. We are going to be persecuted. That is the reality. Jesus, you know, he challenged people. He called them out of their sin. He didn't want them to bask in their sin. He called them out of their sin. To the woman who was called adultery, he says, go and sin no more. So Jesus really challenged people. You know, he said, Jesus, at one point that, you know, he hasn't come to bring peace, but rather division. You know, a father will be against a son, or a son against daughter, mother, children. Again, there can be discourse in families because of Jesus, because of the truth. Jesus acknowledges this. So really, to what does Jesus say to us? What does he say in the Gospels? To follow his word. To follow him. He says some challenging things. One of the things he says is, if you love me, keep my commands. Do what I have told you, what I've shown you. So that's why it's really important for us really to look at the Gospels, study them. What would Jesus do? There's that saying, what would Jesus do? Yeah, what would he do? There's also the element in this of the Father. My word. Remember, if Jesus is the Word, who's speaking the Word? It's God the Father. Jesus is the Word of God. He is sharing with us what the Father wills. This is one of the things that Jesus did. He did the will of the Father perfectly. Adam and Eve failed. Jesus and Mary perfectly fulfill the will of the Father. When Jesus talks, he says, I'm sharing with you all that the Father has asked of me. In other words, Jesus was sharing with his disciples, his apostles, and he shares with us what the Father desires, what the Father wants, what the Father commands us. You know, he said, Jesus told us, you know, pray our Father. God the Father is just not Jesus' Father. He's our Father as well. And he always does what's best. So follow what God wills. You know, that second reading is kind of a controversial one, at least. It's portrayed as controversial. This is the role that husband and wife have in a marriage. Really to look at that, study that. What does it really mean? Wives, be subordinate to one another, your husband. First of all, it's husbands and wives be subordinate to one another in Christ. Then husbands are supposed to love their wife as Christ loved the church. Husbands, Jesus died on the cross. That's what you're supposed to do for your spouse. And I meant maybe literally, but die to yourself. And wives are supposed to be subordinate, to follow their husband. You know? So if this is the way that God wills it, that's best for us, we should really take note and really, you know, I want to follow what God has laid out so that this is beneficial for our families and for myself. Remember, God wants us to be with Him forever. He wants what's best. So for us really to ask, you know, Lord, help me to do Your will. Help me to see Your will. Help me to grow in following You. This is what God wants of us. So we certainly pray for that. So Jesus shares this with His disciples and apostles. And it's interesting, Peter, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter acknowledges that. Peter wasn't perfect. He fails later on, but he had a desire. He wanted to do the will of the Father. He wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to allow the Spirit to change and move him. And the same is for us. So we just ask, Lord, help us. Help us, certainly in the power of the Eucharist. Help us to grow in Your Spirit, be sanctified, made holy. Help us to listen to Your Word. And help us to do the will of the Father in our lives.